And then I opened the new app and it was like, you're not online. And I was like, okay. And then you tried the call and I tried the answer and then it was like, call failed. And I was like, what the fuck?
The Ant Monkey Dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Happy superb owl Sunday.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Yeah. For sports ball.
I mean, is it two bird teams this year? Or am I, there's at least one bird team, right? Yeah, there's at least one. I think Philadelphia.
There's Kansas
bird.
City. And is the other one? I don't even know who's playing because. Oh, is it okay?
I don't know. I am the wrong person to really figure this out. Kansas City Chiefs versus the Philadelphia Eagles. So one superb owl type bird in the game.
And the vaguely racist team.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all the excitement. Talk to you next week.
I don't think I'm going to watch the game. Like, I have no desire, you know, the people that are going to be attending, I have no interest in seeing, and, like, the teams are meaningless to me. And they put all the fucking commercials on YouTube anyway.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know why I would even sit there and watch it in real time.
You're not a big Kendrick Lamar fan. You don't want to see his halftime show.
Who's that?
Exactly.
Is he a rapper?
I don't know if he's considered rapper or R&B.
Kendrick Lamar Duckworth is his real name.
He's
an American rapper.
Okay. Well, there you have it.
So yeah, no interest in seeing that halftime show. Like,
no, nope.
I'm not a rap dude. Like, I don't know. Just seems like a bunch of wasted time and money.
And money. Way, way too much money.
Yeah. Yeah. My kid was like, are you going to watch the Super Bowl? And I was like, yeah, no, I'm good.
Did she want to watch it?
No.
She a big Jason Kelce fan? Is that who it is?
Oh,
or is
I
it Travis?
Know. I think it's Travis. But Travis just like kissed the ring, so, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, because I normally watch the Super Bowl. It's like the only sports thing that I ever watch. Strictly for the commercials. And then I was just like, why am I going to do that? Why should I?
Right.
So, nah. I'll get alerts on my phone of when the trailers drop, and then, you know, tomorrow I'll go through the rest of the commercials and be like, all right, that one's okay. This one's stupid.
Yeah.
You know, we already get, like, previews of like, oh, coming this Sunday, this commercial, and it's like, all right, sure. Just don't care anymore.
That's no way to be.
I mean, there's already a list on Forbes of the 10 best Super Bowl ads for this year. Oh, okay.
Before they've even aired on TV.
Yeah. Three hours ago.
I mean,
apparently there's a commercial where Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal reprise their diner scene. For Hellman's mayonnaise.
Yes, I was gonna say it's for mayonnaise.
Yeah,
I mean, it had to have been quite a bit of money they gave her to come out of whatever this retirement she's been in.
I mean, it that really only works if like one of them ends up with mayo on their face at the end. Just saying.
I know, apparently commercials range from $12 to $20 million.
That's fucking crazy.
Right.
You know, and like I'm like movie trailers come out and then they do like a 15 second commercial and then they're like, watch the full thing on the internet. And I'm just like, all right, cool, whatever.
Right.
And all that stuff comes out anyway. So, you know, it's not like Star Wars Celebration or D23 where they're only showing the trailers to the people in the stands.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Kevin Bacon, Greta Gerwig, Martha Stewart, Matt Damon, David Beckham, Willem Dafoe, Catherine O'Hara, Billy Crystal, Meg Ryan. It's like, okay. I don't understand. I just don't understand anymore so whatsoever.
Is Meg Ryan...
$20 million could do so much good.
I know. Is Meg Ryan retired, or do they just not use her because she's old now?
I don't... Well, yes. She left Hollywood because acting is a job and not a lifestyle.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And during her time away, she was focused on raising her son, Jack.
Jack.
How long has she been away? Because he's in his 30s.
Jack Quaid?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, he's got his own career. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
All right.
So the last film she worked on was 2015.
So 10 years ago. Okay.
10 years ago. He was 21. He was 20.
Maybe she was driving him to auditions or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he's a total Nepo baby, so I don't understand.
Yeah. Oh, she also has a daughter, Daisy, who's adopted.
Oh. Okay.
And she's only 18, so she would have been 8 back then. So.
All right.
Maybe CNN could have rephrased this clickbait.
Well, it's CNN. Like, are they real news? Come on.
Not anymore. Nope.
We had a couple of new trailers this week.
I saw one.
Did you see the Fantastic Four trailer?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What do you think of it? The look and the feel and like what Marvel's doing with the first family?
I like the look of it.
Yeah.
But it feels too much like somebody put in an AI prompt. For, hey, let's make a superhero movie that looks like 1970s TV.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I think the car is really cool looking.
Yeah, the car kind of reminds me of the spinner from Blade Runner. So.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the look of the thing. You know, that's always a crapshoot, especially when they're going to do it digitally.
Right.
I think this looks more in line with the comic books than the last two iterations of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michael Chiklis was fine because, like, he was in prosthetics and, like, it was actually him on set and stuff. The Miles Teller movie was just fucking awful. Like, the thing was just totally computer generated and looked it. But this kind of crosses that line of, like... It's definitely CG, but it's done super well, which, I mean, is in line with Marvel, so. You know, and I'm not thrilled that we get an origin story again.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it's not a true origin story, that they're actually the Fantastic Four in the beginning of this. And there's hints of the origin. Because mm-hmm. they definitely show them, like, before and, like, on TV and stuff, so.
Right.
And I do we'll like the couple shots of Galactus.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
The Galactus looking over the Statue of Liberty is a really cool shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the downtown, the New York downtown, where it's obviously a different universe.
Right.
Where it's, you know, there's like buildings with round tops and stuff instead of the World Trade Center and stuff. Like, I can appreciate what they're trying to do here. It's going to be interesting how they tie it into the MCU.
Yeah. I mean, we know they're not going to leave it as a standalone.
No, I mean, the reason they got Pedro Pascal was because he was going to be the new face of Marvel.
Right.
Especially after all the bullshit happened with what's his name.
Yeah, but then they hired back Downey Jr.
Well, yeah. But that you know, that could only be a one-off movie or whatever. And like, this right. seems like they're going to bring the Fantastic Four into the MCU timeline, and then that's where they stay.
Right.
But I mean, it looks good for a first trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice for Marvel to do something good for once. In a movie.
Yeah. I think they definitely need to knock this one out of the park, or the Fantastic Four is dead.
Yeah, it's going to be nice to see their take on it as opposed to other people's visions, especially Kevin Feige. I mean, he is basically Marvel, so.
Right.
And I kind of feel like this is the story he always wanted to tell.
Let's hope it's good.
Yeah. And we still haven't seen, like, the Silver Surfer's in this kind of gender bent as a female.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. So there are things that we definitely have not seen yet, which is good, because they shouldn't. Like, let it be a surprise. They don't have to spoil fucking everything. The other trailer that came out was the new Jurassic World movie.
Oh, yeah. I have no interest in that.
Scarlett Johansson. I've been a fan of Jurassic Park since 1993. The movies have definitely fluctuated in quality. I thought the first Jurassic World movie was good with Chris Pratt, and then it just went off the rails. And there was a promise of a third film where dinosaurs would be running amok in like human areas, like neighborhoods and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they totally destroyed it by the first 5 minutes of the next movie. Oh, we've captured all of those dinosaurs. And it's like, okay, thanks for the buildup. Right. And like, it gets real goofy where Chris Pratt at one point makes a deal with a raptor about getting the raptor's kid back that gets kidnapped.
Sure, because the raptors are intelligent now and can speak.
So, well, no, it doesn't speak. It just like it growls at him, but he's like, I swear I'm gonna get your child back. And like the raptor trusts him for some reason. So I was a little apprehensive going into this trailer, and it's amazing how far CG has actually fallen from the first film.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's not a lot of CGI in the first film, but there's enough to be impressive that, like, that was 42 years ago.
Right.
32 years ago. Where this, there's there's the opening scene that you see, like, the dinosaurs have these, like, really long pointed tails, and it mm-hmm. looks like a kid's cartoon.
Right.
And I was like, I'm hoping that they still have a couple of months to, like, finish the renders, but if this is what is coming out, I'm not even going to go see it. Because it just doesn't look good. I think it's that too much work and too little time to do it in. And then they expect everybody to, like, love it.
It looks kind of rushed.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, seeing as I haven't seen any... Wait, did I see the Chris Pratt one, the first one? I don't remember. I know I didn't see the second one with Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett's in the first one.
Oh, he's in the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, then I didn't see it. I haven't seen it then.
Not surprised. You're not missing anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I did a lot of work on my own with dinosaurs. I think I'm good.
Yeah, but not real ones.
Well, sure they were real. They were just like bones and stuff.
Yeah. But they weren't walking around trying to eat people.
That we know of.
Oh, maybe at night, like Night at the Museum?
Yeah. Maybe every day they're just in a slightly different pose when the park opens. It's like... Surprised there aren't more trailers, right?
For the Super Bowl?
For anything.
Oh.
Coming out right now. I mean, wouldn't this be the time to pitch the summer?
Well, there's
or been, Memorial Day?
There's like a thing now where they don't really start pumping out trailers until like a month before opening. They try to get you excited for the big tentpole stuff 5 or 6 months out, which is what the Super Bowl is going to be. And then for the most part, they kind of hold off. And I think it's because the CG is not done in all of these big movies.
Oh, and you know, that's a good point.
They're not willing to pump the money out for something like the Super Bowl for something that's not going to make that return.
Right.
You know, if it's $20 million a spot, they're not going to do a $5 million picture into the Super Bowl. Because that seems to be what, you know, it's either end now. It's the real low budget stuff or like the super high budget stuff.
Right.
And since the super high budget stuff doesn't make its money back, like, you know, they still pump all that money into the marketing of it. And it's just a mess because they're not making any of that money back. I think that's why they push for streaming so hard now.
Okay.
Is just because the marketing is kind of built into the platform. And you can do it relatively cheap of just putting on like the main page of Netflix, like a trailer of coming soon. And, you know, your marketing is done. And they're not worried about ticket sales, so...
Right.
You know. I don't know. I read an interview where Scarlett Johansson said that she's been trying to make a Jurassic Park movie for years. Where every time one came out, like she'd get wind that another one was coming out, she'd call her agents and be like, I'm available. Get me on that. So if this sucks, I feel bad for her, I guess.
Poor thing.
Yeah. So did you watch anything new this week?
I watched the movie Conclave.
Okay.
About electing a new pope.
Yeah. It's got Voldemort in it, right?
Yes. It's got Voldemort. It's got John Lithgow. It's got Stanley Tucci. It's got Isabella Rossellini.
Okay.
It's very interesting and it's very quiet.
I heard something like somebody said it's a bunch of like close up people talking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, there's some interesting camera shots. There's one towards the beginning as all the different factions of the Cardinals are showing up, and it almost looks like something out of Wednesday.
Okay.
You know, it's all these people in black and red with umbrellas, and they're all huddled together, and they're only little groups of like four or five or six, and they cut to a shot of like a bunch of them standing around smoking. And then by the end of this little sequence, there's a long shot from the ground where you're looking back at the Pope's palace in Rome.
Yeah.
And in the foreground is like this huge pile of cigarette butts. It's very interesting. Obviously any organization, whether it's church or business or politics, is going to have some sort of intrigue and some bad actors in it.
Yeah.
In this one, Stanley Tucci is trying to get Ralph Fiennes to throw his hat in the ring for Pope because they don't want John Lithgow to get it because John Lithgow's a racist.
Oh.
And Isabel Rossellini plays a nun. It's a interesting little movie. I don't think it's your cup of tea.
I mean, I'm just looking at a still photo and I went all the way to Naboo to shoot it. It looks like I swear this is the same staircase that they're walking down that there's a scene in The Phantom Menace where they're walking down the same staircase.
That's funny.
I mean, is it super religious or is it like more about like the inner workings?
No, it's all about the intrigue. There's some interesting historical stuff. Like it starts with the old Pope dying.
Yeah.
And like one of the first things they do is they rip the ring off his finger and they have to remove his seal.
Yeah.
So that the next Pope can get the same ring with his seal put on it.
Okay.
But it's like they're right there, like right next to the dead body. And there's John Lithgow with like this little vise and a hammer. And he's like chiseling off the the medallion on the ring. But it was interesting.
Okay.
It was interesting. So I watched that, and then I watched this documentary called Yacht Rock.
Okay.
Which I was familiar with the name and the music. I thought it was just, you know, this is late 70s, early 80s music. That's my generation.
Right.
But apparently Yacht Rock has nothing to do with being on a yacht.
Oh, okay.
It was something that the creators of the guys who were behind Christopher Cross's song Sailing.
Yeah.
Was how they measured the success of what they were releasing musically. They called them yachts. I don't know why. It's very lame.
Okay.
I kind of interesting seeing who's Yacht Rock and who's not Yacht Rock. And they talked to Kenny Loggins and Michael McDonald from Doobie Brothers.
Right.
But it was entertaining. It's like one of those HBO documentaries.
Okay. Yeah, I always thought that Yacht Rock was more like not hard rock, but like a little softer than that. Like it's not rock and it's not hard rock, but it was like between. But looking at the list of bands that's considered yacht rock, this definitely isn't that. Like they have Huey Lewis in the News in there as Yacht Rock.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Toto, Steely Dan,
Phil Collins, the Commodores.
All of those, all that we probably call, well,
Duran Duran? Okay.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, AOR, adult-oriented recordings, you know, it's not hard rock, it's not emo, it's not, you know, it's that middle of the road.
Yeah, anybody likes this stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Olivia Newton-John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The narrator of it is Questlove.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of interesting to see where he's come from musically and his take on this.
Is he one of the producers of it? Because I know he makes documentaries a lot.
Yeah. I don't know if he's got a credit on this one.
There's also something called Yacht Soul.
Ooh.
Natalie Cole, Earth, Wind, and Fire, The Gap Band, Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones, Lionel Richie, Luther Vandross, people like that.
Interesting.
The Bee Gees. Yeah, I mean, I think my perception of music is skewed because of MTV.
Right.
Because MTV showed any music video that they would, that these bands supplied, and they'd call it rock and roll. Or, you know, the bands that I listened to were relegated to like Saturday night, late nights on Headbangers Ball and like, you know, but you would get Phil Collins after Van Halen and, you know, it all just seemed like hard rock or whatever. And so being dumped into these buckets is interesting. Because it makes my music listening more eclectic that way.
Sure.
MTV, remember when they showed music videos?
Yes. Did you have a local video music channel?
No.
Oh, see, we did.
We were too far outside of New York City. Like, where I grew up was, it's an hour to New York, an hour to Philadelphia, an hour to Atlantic City. So, like, we didn't have any local stuff. Like, it was all out of New York, mostly. Like, there was some Philadelphia stuff, but most of it was out of New York. So there was no local.
Okay.
They rode MTV hard for New York. I haven't heard of half of these bands, but that doesn't surprise me. While it's an eclectic group, it's a very narrow group too.
Right. Right.
It'd be interesting to pick one of these groups and then like listen to their discography and see how I feel about it. It's weird. Okay.
Yeah. I also watched about the first 3 hours of Fire Aid.
Oh, okay. And how was that?
There was some really good stuff.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see when some of these musicians get together where there's no ego involved.
Okay.
So, Sheila E. played drums on one, for one band, and Earth, Wind, and Fire was there, and John Mayer, and Jelly Roll.
Okay.
Really eclectic group of people. And for the most part, it was focusing on the music. There are some of those human interest type things where they'd introduce you to people who, you know, lost their homes or, you know, something. They had some connection to the fires.
Okay.
But they weren't that long and painful, like on a telethon.
Yeah.
Where like it goes on for like 5 or 7 minutes. I mean, these were like really short and sweet.
Okay.
Rod Stewart performed, Stevie Wonder performed.
Wow.
It was, yeah. It was good. And they did it in two different venues. So I don't know if you remember when they did, was it Live Aid?
Yeah, and they did Philadelphia and like somewhere in England or something. It was
Wembley.
It was Wembley, yeah.
Yeah, but the stage in Philadelphia was on or was that Farm Aid? One of those big concerts, the stage was on a turntable.
Okay.
So they'd have one band on stage while another one was being reset on the other side of the stage.
Gotcha.
And then they just flip them.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. But yeah, Joni Mitchell was there.
Wow.
Graham Nash, John Fogerty.
Wait, if you were watching...
No Doubt.
If you were watching 3 hours worth, how long was it?
The stream is about 6.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah. Kind of, you know, interesting when they put the egos aside and
work together.
You know, just do it for the art.
Yeah.
Only other thing I really watched is I'm still working my way through season 2 of Arcane.
Okay.
And second season is very interesting. It basically starts with like their whole society being wiped out.
Oh.
And then the infighting among the different political factions and rebuilding, and now the magic and the tech are starting to meld, which is kind of cool. But yeah, didn't watch much else.
Okay.
Been a little busy.
Yeah, I know. I have finally caught up on High Potential.
Okay, I haven't.
I still think that's one of the better written shows on network television.
Yeah.
It's innovative in the way that they tackle the procedural part of it.
Right.
And it's never been... I've never found myself being like, oh, this episode's boring. It's always just been like, oh, okay, cool. Like, they seem to be taking cases that are different enough in the spectrum of police procedurals to make every episode entertaining.
Right.
And I like the interaction between her and the guy from
Rescue Me.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'm still digging that show. My new obsession since I finished Silo is Severance on Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Blew through the first season last week. I'm already caught up to the new season that's been airing. Very, very interesting concept. You get hired in this giant global company, and the severed people have a chip put in their heads. So when they get into an elevator, at a certain point, it clicks off the outside brain. So you don't remember anything of the outside world when you go to work.
Okay.
And when you're done with your day and you go back into the elevator, you don't remember anything you did at work. And so there's this whole other version of these people because they don't know who they are. They don't know who their families are. They don't know what they do outside of work. And those people are called the outies, and the people that work on the severance floor are called the innies. And okay. there's this intrigue, like, this season they've like the sets for this are like these long white hallways with locked doors.
Okay.
And they were walking around and they find, a guy with a bunch of baby goats. And they've never, in the show, they've never really said what Lumen does, other than it's this giant company around the world that has its hands in all this different stuff. So they're all trying to figure out, what's going on with the goats. And then they go back and they have to crawl through this tunnel and they find a giant room with like basically a green pasture in it with like hills and stuff. And Gwendolyn Christie from Sandman and Game of Thrones and all that, she's there and she's one of the workers. And in order to keep the groups apart, they've made it so like it takes forever to find anybody else. And they've given the groups all of these ideas, like, if you encounter one of the other groups, they're here to kill you. And at one point they're like, we need you to lift your shirts up. And he's like, why? And she's like, you just need to do it before we can talk to you. So he lifts up his shirt and she turns around and she's like, see, no pouches. And apparently the idea was that like they had pouches where they held like creatures that would like come out and attack people. And it's all this like mind control to keep everybody in line while they're working for this company. It's really weird, but it's really well done. And it's from the mind of Ben Stiller.
Right.
So like it's out there, but it's like done in a way where I could totally see like, you know, Elon Musk having a thing where they put a chip in your head and you go to work and like, you don't remember anything.
Right.
It's really weird, but it's really well done. And this last, the last episode had them like out in a field somewhere in the snow and like a bunch of shit happens where it could totally change the dynamic of the show from here on out. So it's just been really good.
Hmm.
It's just weird enough, I think you'd like it.
It's definitely on my watch list.
Okay.
We'll see. We got final season of Cobra Kai next week.
Yes. Yep. I'm a little confused by the trailer. Because a large part of the trailer is them going back to the All Valley tournament, but
right.
They didn't finish the tournament that they were at. So I don't know. There's only like, what is it? 6 episodes, 7 episodes.
Yeah.
Just seems like a lot to clean up. But maybe,
well, I wonder if they're just going back to the U.S. and, you know, Daniel's having his breakdown or whatever because the kid died. And
yeah, maybe. There's 5 more episodes.
Oh, wow. Even less.
Yeah. There's only 15 for the season, apparently.
Okay.
And they all come out on Thursday.
Yep. So can we can watch all of them next week and then talk about them next Sunday.
Sure.
Or not. Was it we have to wait till April for Andor?
Yeah, see, I'm kind of expecting an Andor trailer at the Super Bowl. Disney is known for putting up Star Wars content, so
yeah.
I remember the year that Solo came out, that was at the Super Bowl. But I mean, at $20,000 a piece, are you really going to do something that's not going to make any money?
Right.
Especially after the news that Disney lost a shit ton of subscribers at the end of the year.
Well, that's what happens when you raise the prices.
Yeah, they're going to find that out the hard way.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how it succeeds in this new world.
Yeah. The other thing that I've been watching this week, my other obsession, is a new comedian that I found.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Randy Feltface?
Yes.
Okay. I have been like just glued to fucking YouTube looking at his stuff. I think he's super funny. And for anybody who's listening, it's basically a comedian that's a puppet. And it's not a puppet that looks like anybody. It's like a little purple head on a body. But he's got like a Australian accent, and he's just really funny. It's adult comedy too. It's not for the family. But yeah, I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of him. I haven't really gotten in depth.
He does a lot of crowd work, which I think is fun.
Yeah.
You know, and he's constantly like, there's clips where he'll be like, so what's your name? And then nobody answers. And he's like, because he's a puppet and the main dude's behind like this wall, he's like, I'm looking down an aisle, aren't I? and people will be like, yeah. He's like, God damn it. All right, fine. And so he'll like slightly turn one way and he goes, okay, what's your name? And that like, what did you do today? And then he'll like make fun of him.
I was going to ask if you ever see The Puppeteer.
Not that I've seen.
Okay. I like it better that way.
Yeah. And he'll bring people up on stage to like mess with the puppet. And then he'll be like, yeah, don't look down there. There's a clip where he gets a massage and he's like, I know my neck feels like a wrist, but I swear it's a neck.
Mm-hmm.
So like he's not trying to like, you know, fool people into thinking the puppet's real or any stupid shit like that, you know. But yeah, I mean that's all I really watched this week. Do we have any celebrity deaths or anything?
Not any big ones.
Tony Roberts?
Yeah, he did some.
Starred in some Woody Allen
TV movies, a lot of Broadway stuff.
Okay.
But I think David Lynch was the last big one, right?
Yeah. Unless you consider Dick Button.
Who?
He was an Olympian and the voice of skating.
Oh, of course.
He died at 95.
Yes.
He won 2 Olympic gold medals and 5 consecutive world championships in men's figure skating.
Irv Gotti died. He was a record producer of Murder Inc. Records.
Well, that's good. None of our favorite people died this week.
Thank God.
Yet.
Dick Van Dyke's still kicking.
He is. Did you see William Shatner wants to come back to Star Trek?
Oh, why?
Well, because...
How old is he now?
He's 92, 93.
Oh, please.
So he was involved with that that short film that Gene Roddenberry's son did where Spock and Kirk says goodbye. And I guess there was such an outpouring of that. He has come around to the idea that if they can do it that way, he wants to come back. Which is great for Sam Witwer because he's the guy that played him in the short. And then they just, covered his face over. But I don't really know how much they can do with Shatner. Especially with everybody else being gone for the most part.
Yeah, I don't know. I think at this point it's just a cash grab.
Yeah, probably.
Like, Bill, just right off into the sunset. Come on, you've gone to outer space.
Well, I think maybe he's feeling the way that, Harrison Ford did, where he reached a point in his career where he was like, if I can go back to the things that gave me my fame,
right,
one last time, I will. So maybe that's what he's thinking, because he tried to distance himself from Star Trek and he's always come back to it. So,
right.
I mean, I would think the Paramount, after the absolute shit show that was Section 31, that, William Shatner saying, yes, I'll come back, should be good news for Paramount. Because at least he's a known quantity.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just a big believer in it's like, you get to a certain point, you really should just let it go.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
You're never going to be as good as you were then, and you're only going to make people compare you to how you are now. It's just accept the amazing career you've had, but that's kind of it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people think about these people through rose-colored glasses of, Shatner's been in the spotlight throughout his entire career. So, when you see him, you're not like, holy shit, he's aged. But there are definitely actors that I've seen where they'll pop up in a picture and I'll be like, holy shit. Like, they aged hardcore in the last 5 years. And whether that be like medical issues or whatever, but still, sometimes it's a big shock.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't know, who Michael Biehn is, right? He was
from Terminator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was, I guess somebody put up a picture of him with Linda Hamilton recently where I didn't recognize him. And he was recently in Mandalorian.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. Who is she posing with? And then I realized who it was and I was like, wow, okay, homeboy. And he's had like a stroke or something in the last 10 years. And he's had to learn to talk again and all this shit.
Okay.
So I'm not, I'm not saying anything bad about him. But he definitely seems like he's aged quite a bit.
Hmm.
And when I met him, at Mad Monster, like homeboy was drunk, so you know. He asked me where the bathroom was. I said, I have no clue, dude. Sorry.
And then he peed on your shoes?
No, and then he just hobbled away. It's very weird. Very weird.
And then how the mighty fall.
And then I went and paid him money to sign my face hugger, so. You remember me? I was the guy that didn't know where the bathroom was. Are you sad that you're missing MegaCon this year?
No, because I can't see spending that money to go shopping.
Yeah, it's fucking expensive.
It's expensive, and like parking sucks, and the food sucks, and is expensive, and I'm good.
Yeah, remember the $7 uncooked hot dogs that we ate?
Oh, yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. All a money grab.
Yep.
And I've seen pictures of friends who were there this weekend, and two of them did the Doctor Who group photo.
Yeah.
With like Karen Gillian and what's her name? River Song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all of them, and it's like, what did you pay for that? Is it really worth it?
I mean, I guess if you're a big Doctor Who fan, it probably is.
Sure. I mean, if it makes you happy, then I think that's fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going into debt just to have the photo done and whatever. But, yeah, the cost of that stuff is way out of line.
Yeah, most definitely.
You know, I mean, like the Breakfast Club thing would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then I saw pictures. And it was like, do you remember, was it last year that Gina Davis and Susan Sarandon were there?
Yeah.
And like the person getting the picture like sat on like the opposite side of like a little table so they weren't, you know, close.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it kind of felt. They were like all on stools and you kind of sat in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I understood that during the pandemic, but now it's a little silly.
Yeah, well, it's like, oh, I'm too important, so.
Just give me your money.
You can't, please don't touch me.
Funny. All right.
Yeah, it feels like a slow news week.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't find anything else that's entertaining either. You have anything else?
No. I mean, I've kind of still been sticking with Night Porsche.
Yeah.
They really just need to spin off John Larroquette and Wendy Malick.
Not going to happen as long as what's her name is an executive producer.
Yeah, she's just not good.
Yeah.
And I guess she wasn't really good on Big Bang either, now that I think of it.
I mean, she had a very specific character, and I think she played that character well. I think the writers betrayed her in the sense that, like, she's supposed to be this brilliant scientist who like makes drugs or whatever at this company, and they turned her into like a stupid bully. And that's, you know, and they turned her into Howard's mother at one point. And it's just like, that's not, that's not what you do with her. Like, that's not what ingratiated her into people with people. So I think that was a failure on the writer's part. And, you know, then she gets this opportunity and there's nobody around her to tell her like, that's probably not a good idea. And then you get this, you know.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Oh, well. Yeah. It's what happens when you pay these people millions of dollars, begin to believe their own hype.
Yeah, happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if that's all that you got, that's all that I got.
All right.
Well, if you want to get
maybe something big will happen at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You can talk about it next week.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Health is just the product of a morbid human imagination.